There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com. The Lost Word.
Company to show world's longest advert, and it will only feature a...
I like Robbie's go there, silence. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, Robbie went for silence. Michelle said grannies. And you went with, what was it, earthworm?
I don't know why it's in my head for some reason. I haven't seen a headline with it, and I don't think. Or have I?
No, you think it's earthworm, but I think it's silence. No Name thinks it's baby. Julek thinks it's a hot dog. Manish thinks it's a logo. Stefano thinks it's music. Siobhan thinks it's music. Marco thinks it's feet. Abbas thinks it might be a sloth or a panda. Silence is a good one. That is not the right answer, but silence is a very good guess. I like it.
What is the answer?
The answer is a washing machine.
That's all that's going to be in the ad?
Yes.
So it's an ad for a washing machine?
Samsung in the UK. I'm not sure I was even aware they did do washing machines. No, I do think I know that. Anyway, the tech firm is doing a 200-second long interrupted footage of a family wash. And... yeah, so it's just going to be a washing machine spinning round on a family wash cycle. And it's during a programme, we've talked about this programme before, it's Gogglebox, it's where you watch other families watch TV. So I see the connection. Mm. But they're basically saying the average person wastes 88,904 minutes of their life, 62 days, watching their washing go round and round. So this is some study that they've done, and they're wanting to say quick drive or whatever their fast speedy thing is will save you time. So they're showing you how much time you're wasting watching your washing. 200 seconds of watching a washing machine spin round.
Who watches their washing?
I don't know. People
watch their washing?
Well, apparently so, yes, apparently.
Why would you watch your washing?
They're using the hashtag life's too short. So life is too short to watch your washing.
I'm sorry, I'm all up for adverts that are quirky or unusual and kind of poke fun at something, but who has ever watched their washing?
I know.
That's a really odd thing to do, isn't
Michelle,
it?
Michelle,
is
have you ever watched your washing? Because the missing word in Lost Word today was washing machine. And I'm just wondering, have you ever sat and watched the washing machine?
You mean
machine?
On a clothesline?
No, the washing machine.
That's
washing
even
machine,
more interesting.
You know, the washing
when
machine.
When it goes round?
Yeah, it is kind of... trancing, you know, because sometimes our cat would do that, just sit there.
A cat would.
It's very calming, I find.
Some people have put their cat through a cycle.
Apparently, 62 days in your life, 62 days in your life, you waste watching washing machines.
Oh, maybe that's me.
Michelle, 62 days that you can never get back if you continue to watch your washing machine.
It's very soothing.
But most, I mean, now they bleep when they're finished or it stops making that really annoying noise, don't they?
Mine plays a really annoying noise. I feel like it's goading me. Yeah, it's goading me, saying that I need to get up and do some jobs, and I really, really, really don't like that.
I'm sorry, I'm amazed that somebody would watch their washing. That's just weird. I mean, I spend time staring into space, I'll freely admit it, but I don't stare into my washing machine.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Yes.
All right. Trending today.
It is. I quite like the Sharjah Museum. I wish we could do that every week. No, I quite like it. Anyway, Stranger Things. We were talking about Stranger Things briefly with Nick Rago Radar from Tech Radar. And the cast in this viral video, which has had 5.3 million views at the last look in a day, the cast have been taking part in this, the internet's most asked questions. You know, if you type a question into a search engine, you type something and then you see what comes up next. So it's, you know, it's one of those corrective ones. And it's Skaten Matarazzo and Joe Keery. They take the search engine autocomplete interview. This is just a very brief clip.
Is Stranger Things based on a true story?
Yeah, actually. It is based on a place in Montauk, New York called Camp Hero. There was like rumors of secret government spies like doing human experiments to fight in the Cold War. Like,
missions, yeah.
That's exactly what's happening in Stranger Things.
Is Stranger Things appropriate for a 12-year-old?
I'd say so.
Man, I couldn't even watch like Men in Black when I was a kid.
What?
Or E.T. or... Yeah, I had a real
Men
time
in
watching I thought it was terrifying.
Did you watch Jaws?
Yeah.
How did that...
Maybe
how did
not
that?
Until I was like 14.
Good,
or something. Yeah.
That's an interesting point, you know, because there are bits in Men in Black where you think...
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I was old enough to not be scared of Men in Black, I guess. But it continues, and he says I was even frightened of E.T. So I think he was just a bit of a scaredy cat, to be honest.
I love
and
that
then they
film.
They decided they decided that it depended on the 12-year-old, its suitability and appropriateness. Okay. That was the decision they came to. But 5.3 million views in 24 hours. They're popular. You know, it's just two of the cast answering questions.
That's also the Stranger Things variable in there as well, isn't it?
Yeah,
exactly. It's a massive show.
Exactly. Well, I mentioned Friends earlier. Do you remember the one where Rachel made the trifle? And the Friends episode that's taken from is actually called something else. Not that I will repeat it. It's from the 9th episode of the 6th season of Friends. It aired in November 1999. Mm. Not a million miles away from today. And it's the one where Monica hosts Thanksgiving and Chandler uses the occasion to try and win her parents over. Here's Rachel talking about her wonderful English trifle.
It's a trifle. It's got all of these layers. First, there's a layer of ladyfingers, then a layer of jam, then custard, which I made from scratch. Then raspberries, more ladyfingers, then beef sautéed with peas and onions.
So I think it transpires that Rachel's confused a shepherd's pie with an English trifle recipe. But she's given it a go. She's not great at cooking, and at least she's given it a try. So they try and soldier on and eat it. Well, this man, Babish is the guy on YouTube, and he combines his love of film and cooking, and he always tries to make foods that you've seen in movies and televisions. And this time, on Binging with Babish, he decides to tackle Rachel's trifle.
Sort of brown and yellow and red. And to be honest, it doesn't taste awesome, but it's totally palatable, which makes it better than Rachel's trifle. And after having worked on this for 2 hours, I pretty readily wolfed it down. We'll see if I can make this thing halfway decent next year.
Babish got a great voice, by the way.
He has got a great voice. Ooh, so yeah. that episode lasts about 10 minutes, and he goes through all the steps, and he does also make the custard from scratch. But it doesn't look very nice, and he says it doesn't taste great, but he's going to work on it for next year.
Mm.
So he is one of those upcoming YouTube stars, but that's gone viral because I think it's the time of year. It's Thanksgiving weekend in America, isn't it? So I think it's, you know, he's captured it at the right time.
Yeah, well, even cranberries are a much talked about commodity today as well. So we've been discussing the commodities when it comes to cranberries. I like layered food.
Yeah, do you know what? My trifle is brilliant. I'm not just saying that's fantastic.
Really?
Yeah.
What's the difference in your trifle?
I don't put jelly in it.
You can't do that.
No, jelly is not, that is not right. That is not trifle. That's like school dinner trifle. No, there's no jelly in it.
Well, what do you do then?
Raspberries. Uh-huh. And ladies' fingers are the thin ones. It's the trifle sponge that I use.
Uh-huh.
Fresh raspberries and homemade custard that I have to make the day before so it goes really, really thick.
Uh-huh.
And double cream and then toasted almonds.
Ah,
that's great.
Beef mince sautéed with peas?
No mince in there. No, funnily enough, Tim.
All right.
I know. If you're lucky, I might make some one time. Yes. Anyway, final story. I used to work as a TV reporter, and this was my absolute nightmare. Something happened. You usually see it on transfer deadline day with the football reporters. They're stood outside a stadium, and they get absolutely mobbed. Well, this time it's a Sky reporter, and he's in Harare. You can see where this is going.
Mm.
Sky's David Bowden was doing a piece to camera live, and he was interrupted by what can only be described as overjoyed citizens, absolutely losing their mind. So he's trying to talk to the guys in the studio, and they're trying to hear what he says, but they've got no chance.
The thing is, you don't need the pictures.
You don't need the pictures. I mean, they're climbing all over him. They're climbing all over him. They're putting his arm in the air, punching in the air, saying, "This is the best day ever." Michelle, what does that feel like for you?
Oh my goodness! When it happened last night, I was at home and I said, "Turn on the TV, turn it on," because it was just, I can imagine the joy the people were feeling. You know, the people that were not supporters of Robert Mugabe, but I can just imagine, you just don't know what to do with yourself. You've had 37 years of this man in charge, and you just, yes!
It's just that thing, though. Yeah. I mean, what's it like? I've never done any TV reporting. I haven't got a clue what it's like, but what's it like if somebody does do that? I don't know. I see things and I always think, that's genius. Like, people walk behind with their shirts over their head and just go through the shot and that kind of thing.
Well, somebody's telling you that it's happening because you've got something in your ear. You've got an earpiece. So someone in the studio is going, ha, 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 they're making you look like a fool. And you really have to try hard to concentrate because your friends and the producer should be really helping you, but they just laugh. And I think in that situation with him last night live, I think that's fine because it captures the feeling and the spirit of what's happening there. But when it's something really, you know, if it's a different kind of story or a different kind of moment, it's quite annoying. But that, I think it just showed how passionate people there really felt about it. And the celebration, it was like a street celebration. So I think in that sense, it's okay, but it's really not nice. But that's not my worst reporting story. I have a worse one than that.
Well, that leads us to my next question, doesn't it? Because we've got about 30 seconds. So what is your worst reporting story?
I was top of the news programme. I was the first story. It was a very, very serious story. There'd been a murder and I was live on the scene.
Right.
And the earpiece was in, the cameraman was just... we had like a little microphone that sticks onto your coat and there was a wind thing on it because it was really windy and it was raining and he was just messing around with it and we were live on air and he didn't realise and I didn't realise. So, you know, the news starts and then you appear in this small screen and then the screen gets bigger and the presenter's going, oh, and live at the scene is NLT and it's like...
Did they say NLT?
No, oh. I was Lindo Taylor then, but I was just, yeah. They said my full name. Right. And yeah, I was stood there. It was a really serious story. And then we suddenly heard everything in our ears and they were like, start talking. So he jumps out of the way behind the camera. And I start saying, well, at 5 o'clock last night, there were reports of a shooting in the area. So you just have to really go for it and pretend it never happened. It's really embarrassing. Oh. Yeah.
Oh, well. Fantastic. There you go, the life of a TV reporter. I tell you what, Music Scoop, before we finish, 1975 is where we start. This started 2 week run at number one in the US. It's their second number one as well. Classic, I think. Casey and the Sunshine Band, 1980, we move to now sixth number one for these people from Sweden. I was sick and tired of everything. We'll let this go a bit. When I called you last night from Tesco, all I do is sit and sleep and sing, wishing every show was the last show. So it's ABBA. Like a super trooper, lights are gonna find me shining like the sun. Biggest selling single of 1980 in the United Kingdom. That's a massive song. 1980, that's ABBA. Number one in the US today. Her fourth album was out. It's 1998. Supposed former infatuation junkie was the name of the album. Thank you, frailty. Thank you, consequence. Got a Grammy nomination, that song, for Best Female Pop Vocal Performance. Memorable video, it has to be said, as well. Alanis Morissette. Born today, and I'm going with this because it's a song that takes me back. Always one of those you'd think, wow, dance floor filled up quick there, didn't it? Tina Weymouth, born today in 1950. She played the bass in Talking Heads, did lots and lots of other stuff. Tom Tom Club is one thing. But I thought... And you have to play the live version of this from the Greatest Hits. For some reason, it's not stop making sense. There's slippery people. You Different to the Stop Making Sense version. That's Talking Heads. Tina Weymouth was born today in 1950. That's why. So that's the music scoop.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.